welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And in this edition, we're going to dive into a discussion about how to create a bridge between children's ministry and student ministries. Sometimes we make the big mistake of allowing children's ministry to get siloed. And that is a dangerous thing for any leader to do. And so we want to talk about this idea of how do we bridge that gap? What can we do to lead across the bridge that we're going to build? And so my guest today has been working hard at that and has some good wisdom to drop today with us. So I'm super excited to welcome back my good friend, Corinne Noble. Welcome back to the KMC.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Hey, I'm so glad that you're here to share your heart with us. And so tell our listeners, some of them may know you, some of them may not, and I want to make sure they do get to know you. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Corinne, and I do a lot of things, but I'm a kids pastor in the Phoenix area of Arizona. If you know the area, Gilbert and Chandler is where our churches are located. We're multi-site at this point. And I oversee all of the kids ministry birth through sixth grade, but really my favorite age group is that oldest age group, the preteen age group, that fourth through sixth grade age group. Which is why I'm so passionate about this topic of creating that bridge. But I also run a business on the side, KMC Curriculum, and I create curriculum and blog and speak and do all kinds of things with that as well. And I teach piano on the side just for fun. So
just in your free time. And you're a new mommy.
And I'm a new mom.
So you're just juggling a few things there.
Only a few. Yes. My plate is very full, but I am definitely very blessed.
Yeah. And we love it. And we love the curriculum. And I love, you know, we were just joking off air before we started that there have been a number of you that have been joining the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group that have commented about loving the curriculum. Just know that's Corinne. That's not me. She's way more creative than I am. So don't think that that's Tom doing curriculum, because Tom doesn't do curriculum.
Don't sell yourself short, Tom. Everyone has different creativity.
That's true. And my wiring is just different. I'm not a writer for that kind of stuff. But I am so glad that you have the curriculum, because it is great stuff. And y'all, if you haven't checked it out, go check her curriculum out for sure. We'll talk about more about that later. This isn't an episode on curriculum, so
no.
We could do one on that, but that's not what we're here for. But anyway, for those of you that have said that you love KMC curriculum, just know I have no problem partnering and having the KMC podcast, Kid Ministry Collective, be associated with Kidman Corinne, because that's awesome. Okay. Awesome stuff. So it's really cool to have you on. So like I said, we're talking today about this idea of building bridges, because like I said in the intro, allowing us to get into silos is really dangerous. And unfortunately, I'm still hearing it, and I'm still seeing it in Facebook groups where people are struggling with this idea of kid men going into student ministry and the relationship that leaders have, inner staff. And so we're going to tackle some of that today, because I think it's really important that we as leaders discuss it and figure out how we can help each other build that bridge. And even if sometimes the youth leader isn't as receptive, we'll talk about what you can do with that kind of thing too. So let's start off. You know, tell me your mindset about why making sure you have a good relationship with the student ministry is so important. Why do you feel like that's, because we always like asking the why question on the KMC. So why is it so important that kid men and student ministry work together?
Man, I mean, I feel like we shouldn't even have to ask the question, just because, I mean, we're laying the foundation, and yes, that's super important. But if we're not connecting those kids into our student ministries, whether that's junior high or, you know, your church does all of them together, if they get lost when they leave our ministries, and they're not being ministered to effectively, and we're not partnering well and helping them make that transition well, I think we've done all of this work laying the foundation and the building's never going to get built. And I think that that's really what we have to look at is, yes, I think everyone's very quick to say kids ministry is the most important thing because it's the foundation, but the foundation doesn't do you any good if they don't keep building on it. So I think that's a really big reason why it should be very important from our side as kids pastors to do everything we can to build that bridge. And whether, like you said, whether they're receptive or not, just because we may be doing all this work on our end, building the foundation, just to have nowhere to go from there.
Yeah. So, and I agree. I think if we don't, yeah, we're asking for trouble, and we're going to dive deeper into this. And I think that's, it's really good. So what in your mind is at risk when we don't partner well?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I was saying is just true. I mean, kids are getting, I think kids are moving away from having a relationship with God and leaving church earlier than they used to. I think it used to be we were worried about losing them when they were able to drive a car at 16, or maybe we were worried about losing them when they became young adults, when they went to college. But now I'm seeing, and maybe a lot of you out there are also seeing this, even in my preteenage, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, parents are starting to let their kids choose whether or not they want to come to church. Not just if they want to come to youth group on Wednesday nights, but whether or not they want to come to church at all or be involved at all. And I think we're seeing it as young as in our age group, and then definitely starting in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. So I think we are at risk where, you know, parents aren't forcing or making their kids come anymore. So if we're not doing this well, I think we're losing kids earlier and earlier.
Oh, totally agree with, in fact, Dan Scott in his book, Caught in Between, talks about exactly that. And I was watching that. I know when Dan was first writing the book and he and I were talking, and I actually had him on the podcast, and we were discussing that. And I said, you know, it struck me when I was reading his pre-release copy of that book, all of a sudden I got faces in my children's ministry of a couple of boys who during large group time were just standing in the back off on the side. They weren't engaging any worship. They weren't participating in any of the activities that were supposed to be fun and engaging and drawing them in. They had just checked out. Yeah. And then when I would watch them get into small groups, the same thing was happening. They were checking out. And I thought, these are fourth graders. Third grade, fourth grade. And I thought, that's where we're losing them. And so I told Dan, I said, you're spot on with your, so when you say that, that is very, very true, that if we don't give them something now while they're in our children's ministry, but then also have a great handoff system, a great partnership with that student ministry, we're in for, I think that's a big risk. Yeah. So
I see it as young as third grade as well. And I've read that book. It's a great book. Highly recommended as well. But yeah, we're losing them as young as third grade now. And that's just, it really saddens me when I see that. So yeah, we are not, I think a lot of kids pastors think that the youth pastors are losing them, but sometimes we're losing them before we even hand them off.
Yeah. Right. So we do need to take a good look at what we're doing with that age group. And again, there's another podcast right there of just dealing with that age group. And we'll be doing something, I'm sure. I want to know, how did you begin building bridges with your student ministry there? What have you found, you know, that, how'd you get it going? Because I know some leaders are going, hey, I would love to partner with our student ministry because I am concerned. Because again, I know a lot of leaders think my student ministry doesn't care. They just want the kids and get out of our way. So how did you start building that bridge?
I think I've seen like really every side of this. So I think I can really speak to this well. I mean, at my previous church, I thought that the setup, like I walked into a really good setup where we had a family ministry environment where there was someone who was essentially the ministry's pastor who oversaw students, kids, you know, all of us. And then I was a kids pastor, and then we had a students ministry pastor, an early childhood person. That honestly is probably the most ideal situation, because back then it was just easy for me to partner with my student ministry's pastor, because we came together, we met as a team every week, we talked about things, we did events together. It was just easy, honestly. And I got along so well with that student ministry's pastor. So I spent like 3 years there with him thinking everything was great and easy. Then I came to my current ministry, and the youth pastor who was here when I came in was very resistant. So I can definitely tell you I made some mistakes with trying to partner with him, uh-huh. just thinking that it would be very similar to what I had experienced in the previous ministry. When I came here, things were very siloed, and the youth pastor, like you said, I mean, he legitimately just did not want to have anything to do with me or the kids ministry. And things were very strained with him. I made a really big mistake on my part in a meeting. I called a meeting with him, which I would highly recommend calling some meetings with your youth pastor if you're not already meeting with him.
Yeah.
But just be careful, especially if you already sense that there's some, you know, tension about partnering, or some tension about, you know, people being there, having their hands in each other's ministries. I think people just get a really negative feeling about it, possibly because they've had negative experiences mm-hmm. with previous kids pastors.
Right.
So you have to keep that in mind. I did not keep that in mind when I went into that initial meeting with him. And I basically, I'll give the example of what happened. We had a VBS coming up, and I was doing it in the evening, Monday through Friday. And, you know, as most youth groups meet on Wednesday nights, our youth group met on Wednesday night. And I made the assumption that he would just cancel youth groups so that the youth could be involved and serve, because I was like, well, that's just what you do. You know, yeah. Everybody comes together. We all do this. And that's what I'd come from in my previous church. And he got so mad and angry with me. And I mean, it pretty much just shut down our whole relationship until he left the church, because wow. He never got over the fact that I basically just assumed he would do something for me that I had seen in other churches. So I would say, definitely, if you're unsure or you already sense that tension, be very cautious about what you say and what you assume when you go into a meeting with a youth pastor. I currently have a new youth pastor who's extremely excited about partnering with us, and that is incredible, and it's not something I've always had. So I really, really look at that as a benefit. So what I would say is call a meeting with them, be very cautious, be very careful about what you say and what you ask for from them. And I would say, don't even ask for anything from them. Lead with what you can do for them. Mm. I think that's always going to start you off on a good foot. Like, hey, how can the kids ministry help you? How can we share some resources? How could we make a purchase together that both of us need? How can we work together on a series, or, you know, different things like that, where you're not asking them to give to you, but you're more saying, how can we help you and how can we partner with you? Mm. So sorry, that was a lot to say. I just wanted to explain that I've kind of been on every side of this, where it was really easy and then it was really hard, and I put my foot in my mouth.
Sure. No, I think you didn't say too much. I think that was fantastic, because if you don't start right with when you're building the bridge, yeah, it can get really bad. So I think that was a great example to share, is the contrast that you had, where one, you didn't start well, but the second one you have. And that's a big difference maker, for sure. Being able to do that. And I like your attitude of saying, hey, how can I serve you? How can I help? What do you want? I remember doing that with a student pastor that I was working with. When I went to him, I shocked him by saying, you know, what would you like to see when kids come up into your ministry? What are some of the things you're hoping for? What kind of characteristics? What kind of knowledge? What, you know, and that way, you know, we started to shape our preteen ministry more so that it would feed the student ministry, not just a big jump from our culture to their culture. We wanted to start aligning that. And I think that was really a positive thing to do. I think what you stated was really well, that if we don't, we're going to hit some obstacles. In fact, that's the next thing I want to talk about a little bit is, so what kind of obstacles have you encountered? Besides the him not being super excited about it, what other things have you kind of run up against when you start building those bridges?
I mean, that was a big one. I would definitely say, when you do this, I like what you were saying, coming to your student ministry pastor and saying those things. The reality is the obstacles you can face are you may have to give more on your side than they're willing to give. And you have to be willing to change some of the things you're doing, not just come into the meeting expecting them to change everything that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that in reality, a lot of us really, especially if you've been in kids ministry for a while, we get kind of our methods and our culture and our way of doing things. And we're very like committed to them and we're very sold on them, but our students' ministry pastors may not be. So we have to find, I think you have to find common ground. You have to make compromises. But I've definitely hit walls where it's like I said, especially with that one student ministry pastor, once I got off on that bad foot with him, it was like he was unwilling to compromise at all, to meet me in the middle at all. It was just all me saying like, hey, I'm willing to do this. You know, why aren't you willing to come and meet me in the middle? So definitely, you have to be willing to change and you have to be willing to sometimes give a little bit more than you're getting in return. I think that's a really difficult thing sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, kids pastors, we don't get territorial or any of that kind of
thing. Oh, never.
and I'm sure the student pastors out there, if there are any listening to this podcast, we know that you don't get territorial either. So we're all good. Yeah.
Yes.
I think for the longest time, and I know when I first started in kid ministry, the siloed mentality was very prevalent. I think we're better today than we've ever been, but there's still, you know, you still run into that. And so, you know, bringing the teams together and realizing you are all on the same team is a big thing. And you can knock down some of those obstacles right from the get-go by helping and serving and all those. So I think that's really, really a great point. And we're going to dig into a little bit more in just a minute with Corinne. And I want to stop for just a moment and say, hey, if you and your team are struggling with some of these kind of issues, and if you're struggling as a leader here in 2020 on building teams and equipping teams, there's some great resources for you. And so I want to tell you about some of the things that KMC Coaching has to offer you here in 2020. Just wanted to take a moment and talk to you guys about Kid Ministry Collective Coaching. For some of you, you may not realize that's what I do full time. I feel like a while ago, God gave me a real strong vision and dream for coaching leaders. God has allowed me to experience a lot of different things over the 30 plus years I've been in full-time ministry. And as a pastor's son, I've experienced a lot of different things. And God never wastes those experiences, the good and the bad, so that we can grow from them. I've also sat under some of the teaching of some of the great leaders that have plowed the way through in children's ministry for many, many years. And I've hired a coach myself and learned under his leadership. And now God has asked me to step into that realm. And I hope that some of you that are starting out in kids ministry or you've been in kid ministry for a while would consider hiring a coach. What is coaching? Well, for me, coaching is all about coming alongside someone and helping them see things that they may not be seeing, having great conversations and asking questions to dig deeper into what's going on in your world and in your context. So I would love to talk to you about KMC Coaching. We have one-on-one opportunities, and we're going to have some more group coaching opportunities that make it a little more economical for people. But trust me, don't let dollars stop you. I'm here to serve. I'm here to build the kingdom. I want to help you, especially if you're hurting, especially if you're struggling or thinking about going into a transition time. I would love to talk with you. So head over to kmccoach.net and let's set up a conversation so that we can talk about how I can come alongside you and guide you, help you, encourage you, pray with you. So kmccoach.net. I'm here to serve, guys. Now let's rejoin the rest of the episode of the KMC. Okay, let's dive back in on this idea of building bridges with our student ministries and between kids ministry, because again, we're building something for eternity that's going to last. And if we don't have a good attitude about it, it's going to cause problems. And I would love to know, what's one of the most valuable lessons you've learned as you've worked to build partnerships with your student ministry team?
Oh man. I would definitely go back to that one thing is a big one for me, starting right, starting off on the right foot, asking what I can bring to them and not asking them to just bring things to me. I think those are really, really big lessons. I think a lot of us, I think a lot of people out there listening, maybe you're thinking, I've never offered to do anything for my student ministries. So I think that attitude of servanthood is important. That's a big lesson. I think also just I'm going to go ahead and point this out. I know I've noticed a lot with kids ministry, and I've definitely fallen into this, just having a really negative attitude towards your student ministry and towards your youth pastor. Yeah. Just an idea of, well, youth ministry or student ministries, they just don't work as hard as us and they don't do as many things as we do. And they're so entitled and they're always out to coffee. And I hear this a lot. So I would definitely love to address that. Yep. When we have that attitude towards our student ministry pastors and their ministry, then we're not creating a positive bridge, because that's seeping out into the way that we speak to the parents of our kids and to our volunteers. And they need to hear that, like you said, we're all on the same team, and that positive attitude about, where their kids are heading. Otherwise, again, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. We're putting all this work into what we're doing, and then we're saying, oh, well, where are your kids going next? They're just lazy and they don't do anything over there. So if that's exactly how you feel, then I think you have to check your heart and check yourself and say, my attitude's in the wrong place on this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking to a children's ministry leader, not that long ago, and they were talking about, well, I just don't want my kids to move up because I'm not happy with what I'm seeing up there and the student side. And so I'm doing all I can to create opportunities down to keep the kids, and let them serve here and let them get involved. What would you say to somebody like that? I'm just curious.
I can't say that, I'm not going to lie and say that I haven't felt that way before, to be honest. I mean, I've definitely been there where I was really in the wrong. I see that now, where I saw it as, well, everything I could do for the kids, and I didn't like what I saw over there, and I was trying to do everything I could. And I've definitely been there. So I would say to that person, obviously, again, they need to check their heart and their attitude, because they are in the wrong, whether what's going on up there is good or bad. I think that, again, offer to help. Don't just try to keep all the kids where you are. Offer to help make things better in the student ministries. Don't just talk about how much better everything is in your ministry and try to keep everyone. Yeah. Do everything you can to partner with your student ministries pastor to create something better for the kids. And I think in the end, I think that sometimes you have to leave a church over something like that if you really can't partner well with someone and it's really long term and it's, really, really bad. I think I've seen situations where sometimes you have to remove yourself completely. So that's definitely a drastic side of it. But if you're just all you're seeing is opposition, somebody's going to have to remove themselves at some point if nobody's willing to change and work together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad that it would come to something like that. And hopefully as leaders, you know, we're going to follow, you know, even Matthew 18 and, yes. and try to do our best to work things out. And, you know, scripture tells us as much as it depends on us to live peaceably. So we're going to want to be people of peace and lead by example there too. But you're right. I mean, there are times where you've got a couple leaders moving in different directions. And when you can't pull the rope together, then yeah, sometimes it does become that drastic of saying, wow, you know, and honestly, that's probably where senior leadership sees it too. And they'll go, okay, we're going to have to make a change. Because we got to have teammates that work together and are pulling the same rope, not trying to strangle each other with it. and I agree. I will tell you too, I have felt that way too, Corinne. I mean, I've had a couple of youth pastors that I've worked with that just felt like they were putting up the wall and they were, you know, siloing themselves in and, you know, but yet they wanted to use the kids' space all the time for their all night parties and, you know, which was just another excuse for the students to raid all the candy that I had in my kids' area. And, yep. You know, I'm sure there's horror stories you could tell too of those kind of events. Cause I've got a few of those. Actually one time I did walk in, I had to come back to my office and I came up through our upper entrance to go to my office and the teens were there for an all night party. And I walked in and I heard noises on my stage and was like, what's going on here? And I flipped the light on and I heard a few more scurry. I'm like, wow, those are big mice. And I said, okay, those of you that are hiding behind my stage, raiding my candy, when probably one of your hands is in the candy jar right now, drop it and come on out. Because if you don't, I'm coming back there. And you see these three kids sheepishly walk back around the front of the curtain. And the funny part was, is this kid had a hoodie on and he had shoved all these Twizzlers. Had a whole big, you know, like Sam's Club style, you know, the big giant container of Twizzlers. And this dude had half of my Twizzlers in his hoodie and thought he was still going to get away with it. That was the funny part. And, wow. and we had a little chat. I said, what you guys doing? Oh, we're playing a game, you know, and big hide and seek game. And I said, well, obviously I found you. And you're not supposed to be back here. They're like, you guys know that, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I said, all right, well, you know, just clear out, go find another place to hide. And by the way, put my Twizzlers back. Each can have one. Get out of there though. Don't let me find you again. And if I come here on Sunday and all the Twizzlers are gone, I'm coming to you three. Yes. You're buying the children's ministry a whole bucket of Twizzlers. So they were paired. I heard later on that they actually came to me later and said they stopped a couple other kids because they were in there raiding my Twizzlers again. And they were like, Pastor Tom's going to make us pay for those. So put them back. So they were actually guarding my Twizzlers after that. So anyway, all right. That was, sorry, bad rabbit trail. But the funny part was, is that, you know, it took a little while for the student pastor and for me to learn to work together and to help each other. Yeah. And I know there's some people out there listening that are going, yeah, okay, you guys both had nice people to work with, but we're already too siloed. And I don't think the walls could ever come down. You know, maybe I've tried meeting with them. What can I do to break that wall down? Because I can't even build a bridge yet. I just got to get the wall knocked down. So what could you do to say to encourage a leader that feels like it's already siloed and it's a big, thick wall?
Oh man. I mean, definitely been there. You know, for me, I felt like the wall never really did come down with that previous leader. And I did try a lot of things and I could not knock that wall down with him. I think he had spent so many years doing ministry that way and he did not, I mean, he just saw it as I was trying to you know, put my hands where they didn't belong in his ministry, instead of seeing it the positive way that, you know, us working together would, you know, create a healthier environment for both sides. With that situation, it didn't really improve until he left, just honestly. And it was really hard, and it was a real struggle for us. I think when you see that, you know, you've tried everything, I think then you have to refocus on all that you can do on your side. Sometimes that is, you know, in those situations where either you've burnt your bridge or they just have absolutely no desire to build a bridge on their side. And, you know, you can't build their side of the bridge. You can't make them. So I think then you have to focus on your side. And there's a lot of things that you can do from your side to try to make that better. You can still look at what the student ministries are doing. You can still visit on a Wednesday night or talk to the youth and see what they're doing. Look at the worship that they're doing. Look at the layout of their ministry and find ways to do those things in your ministry to create a better transition. I know what you were saying back in the day. I mean, even when I was a kid, things were just so drastically different between kids and youth ministry. I mean, kids ministry and youth ministry didn't resemble each other at all. Right. And I think now we are all doing a lot better at this. I see a lot more ministries trying to do a lot better at this. And even if they can't offer a separate preteen ministry, they are, you know, creating more opportunities through small groups and looking at their environments and looking at their worship. And that's what I would say is, you know, in the end, I think maybe we've probably all heard like a parent say this or whatever, like, you're only responsible for you. And you can sit around making excuses all day long about, oh, if only the student ministry's pastor would partner with me, if only they would do this, if only they would do that, then we could do this. Well, you could do that, or you could just look at what your ministry can do to better create that bridge for the kids, even if you can't create it between you and the leadership.
Yeah. See, I like that, because then the kids, you don't ever want the kids to even know there's a rift. And that's, so I love that truth that you just spoke, that you do it so well and make it look so good. You know, I know there's some leaders, sometimes they get threatened because they hear their kids say, I can't wait to get to student ministry. And they get wounded by that. And I'm like, no, you know what? I want them to look forward to that. Just as bad as I want them to look forward to coming to my kids' ministry, I want them to look forward to that. And so I'm trying to find ways to get them excited about the student ministry and wanting to be there. Because again, I don't want to lose them.
And that's a great point. Something I say all the time, our goal for our kids' ministry, even for stuff that I do, is that the kids are going to love coming to kids' ministry until the very last day, but they're also going to look forward to moving into the student ministries, and they're going to, you know, have friends and love it when they get there. So that's a really lofty goal. And I'm certain that even I do not accomplish it with every single kid, but that is always my goal, to keep them happy where they are, but also keep them excited about where they're going.
That's really good. That's really good. So let me ask you this then. How do you keep the bridge supported once you've built it? Because every good relationship's got to be maintained. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep it going?
Yeah, and that's a tough one, because I think we all get into busy seasons and we're like, oh yeah, when was the last time I talked to the youth pastor about anything? So that's a big one. I think having an ongoing, that was a really big thing for me at my first ministry, was having an ongoing meeting. I wouldn't suggest every week. I don't think every week is always necessary. It could get a little bit mundane and like, well, we really don't have anything to talk about. So you don't want to meet too often. I think when we meet too often, it's actually detrimental.
Yeah.
But I think meeting once a month, or, you know, if you can't even make that happen, at least once a quarter, and really just sitting down. I know some of the things we talk about are like, okay, well, where are you going with your sermon series? What are you doing with your small groups? We call it community groups, or offsite small groups. How are your community groups going? who's leading them right now? How often are they? Like, knowing all this information is so crucial, because there's been so many times in our ministry where we have no clue what the youth ministry is doing. That's terrible, right? Because a lot of us have parents of kids and youth even at the same time. Yes. So they're coming to us and they're saying, oh, hey, do you know when that youth event is? And it's like, oh no, got no clue. Like, I feel like that makes us all look really bad.
Yes.
Because it makes us look like we're not communicating with each other to the parents, when, and that happens all the time with me. So that's what I want to know. I want to know, you know, what events they have coming up, what sermon series they have coming up, how are their community groups going, who's leading them? You know, how can we partner together? I mean, when you get those answers to those questions, you learn ways to partner together, because you say, oh, cool, you guys have this lock-in coming up and we're doing one in March. Like, maybe we could buy this thing together. Done that before. We partnered together and bought something that was bigger than either one of our budgets could buy. We've found ways where, oh, the youth ministry could partner with us by serving or even doing like a fundraiser or something like that at one of our events. So you don't know how to do those things if you're not asking those questions on what's coming up. And it's going to spark those things like, oh, I have, or like even, oh, I already have that. You don't need to buy that for that event. You can just use mine. And I know some of you are probably like cringing right now, because you're thinking, what if I never get that back? Or what if they break it?
What if they break it?
I know. I get it. We do get territorial. And, you know, I'll admit that sometimes happens, right? Accidents happen when we allow people to borrow and use our stuff. But I think it's so much more detrimental to our ministry to not allow that to happen than to lose like a $10 or $20 item, you know, because they broke it or didn't bring it back, because that happens, right?
Right.
And I think when that does happen, don't make a huge deal out of it, because, I mean, let's just think about in the future, what if you need to borrow something and you break it? You're going to want that same grace.
Right.
So I think you have to think that way. So I would say find a time that works really well for you guys, for both of you. Consistently meet, consistently ask those questions, and find ways to partner together.
I like it. That is a great, great way to wrap this up. But before we do, a couple of things that I want people to know about you. One, we talked about already, is your curriculum. Tell us a little bit about KMC curriculum. And then I want to talk about your book too. So
cool. So KMC curriculum was really birthed out of just God telling me to do it, which is really cool. I always thought that I would never write curriculum. I always said I would never write my own curriculum. And one summer I wrote a curriculum to go along with my pastor's sermon series for the summer. And I firmly and very strongly heard God speak to me saying I should continue writing all of my curriculum. I fought him a little bit on it, to be honest, but I was like, okay, God, if you are putting this, you know, this dream in my heart, you're going to give me the ability to do it. So that's really where it started. And I was just kind of writing curriculum. Then I started sharing it. And then I felt a shift after a couple years of doing that to start actually creating a business out of it and to actually sell it. So it's really just grown out of just this small little dream that God put on my heart that I completely did not see coming. And it's grown into this business. And really the other side of that is I was a kids pastor who could never find a curriculum that I fully loved and had all the things I was looking for. So I really wanted to bring that to my curriculum. And those things are that I really want it to be fun. I want it to be super engaging and fun for the kids, but I really want it to be also super biblically deep and engage the kids in what really matters. And I found that curriculums tend to be kind of one or the other, really fun or really biblically deep, but I wasn't finding something that was really both, in my opinion. Yeah, so,
right.
That was what I was looking for. And then I wanted it to be really easy to use, because I've used a lot of curriculum that just kind of gave me a headache. I spent a lot of hours editing it. So I wanted to create something that would be easy to use as well. So that's just a little bit about my curriculum. Right now it's elementary only, but I do have some stuff in the works. I'm working on creating some preschool content this year and launching that. And I might even have some preteen stuff in the works in the next year-ish. So dreaming big. I'm dreaming big. Yeah. God's giving me some new dreams just to expand it. But right now it's elementary. But God's really growing it.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And you also have a book called Spark. That it's a creative take on kids ministry. Tell us a little bit about the book.
So again, so funny that I wrote a book, never thought I'd write a book, never thought that I was even creative. And I wrote a book on creativity. So just a side note, God can definitely use you to do things that you legitimately thought that he would never use you to do. So I love this book. It's just like everything I love about kids ministry, creativity, and all the practical ideas for how to take that creativity and use it in all the different areas like games and events and set designs and object lessons and just, you know, all the things that you can think of that we do in kids ministry. It's just taking creativity and giving you practical ways to put it into action.
Awesome. Well, if you haven't gotten it, you need to pick it up. I started reading it a little bit ago and was like, all right, this is some really good stuff. Got great ideas for environments and different things that you can do. And like I say, you'll want to check out, we'll put all those links in the show notes so that you can check those things out. So Corinne, thanks for taking time to talk about this. Cause I think, again, I hope people are being challenged to think about how can they build those bridges between the children's ministry and student ministry? What is it going to take to make a healthy transition for our kids, for the sake of our kids, that we are handing up these children to move into a student ministry where they can thrive, where they can contribute, and ultimately where they can go on deeper into their faith? That's what we ultimately want. We know that's what our student leaders want as well. So let's partner together at that. So,
completely agree.
Hey, so thanks for making time for me today. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And thanks again for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We appreciate your support of this and feel free to share it. Put the word out that you're listening. We'd love to hear feedback on more episodes of what you'd like to hear from us. Because again, that's our goal is to help you lead more, to reach more. So God bless you. Thanks for listening. And join me again for another edition of the KMC. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills and ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.